Hello, friends. Dust off your guitars and work on your harmonies. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books, too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Welcome back to Blame It on Buffett. I almost said welcome to this week's episode, but I am not doing episodes weekly right now, so that wouldn't really make sense. I mean, I guess it's still technically this week's episode, so it wouldn't have been totally wrong. Anyway, thanks for tuning in again. I know things are a little less often nowadays. I'm kind of doing one a month, although I'm hoping to have another one pretty soon after this. I have a couple pretty good guests lined up, I think. So I think you'll be excited about those coming in the future. So I am going to continue to do this podcast. Hopefully, once I get next year, like in the new year, I'll probably maybe try and ramp it up a little more. But for now, I'm kind of shooting for one episode a month. For anyone that doesn't know, I currently live in Arizona and I'm going to be moving back to Oregon, which is where I am from. And so that's going to happen sometime in the spring. I'm not sure exactly when yet. So that'll be around that time. Things might be a little more, even more all up in the air about episodes and whatnot. But hopefully once I'm settled in there, then I can get back to a more regular schedule and maybe doing episodes more often. So that being said, if you are here, thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for continuing to tune in, even though these episodes are not as frequent or as regular. I appreciate you listening. I have some cool guests this week that I'm excited for, and I will introduce them in just a minute. But the first kind of the main housekeeping thing I want to do before I get to that is to talk a little bit about charity, donations to charity. So I've said in the past that I'm making donations, some donations to charities based on just kind of themed maybe around like the ocean or things that I want to support. And those have just been here and there. Like I haven't been doing them super regularly or, you know, in any kind of like structured fashion, I guess. I really appreciate you all who are still supporting the podcast monetarily. I am leaving that up as an option. I left it up when I didn't have a job, but now I have a job. But I decided like, if I'm going to continue to, you know, put work into this, like I do still want to upgrade the equipment and all that. So thank you to those who are donating. And for anyone that's interested in supporting the podcast, you can do that at the Anchor page, which you can find in the show notes if you're not already listening on Anchor. And there's a support button just on the main podcast page in Anchor. And it's kind of like a Patreon thing where you can sign up for a monthly support amount. And there's, I think the lowest one is 99 cents. So super low pressure if you want to do that. I think the next one is like $4.99 and then maybe $9.99 or something. There's three different options. So you are in no way obligated to do that. I just love that you are listening to the podcast. And if you just want to like send me comments or thoughts or stories, like all of that is, I love, love, love it. And that's all you need to do. But if you do want, if you really enjoy this podcast and you would like to support it financially so we can keep doing awesome things, you can use that support button. And part of what that support goes to is portion of it as I'm saving for equipment upgrades and that kind of thing. And then a portion of it is going to sort of support some of these donations that I'm making. So the announcement this week is that I'm changing the donation idea a little bit. And because it's really giving back is really part of sort of the parrot head mentality. And that's why it's an important part of this podcast. I want to really build it into the podcast in a more structured way. So what I'm going to be doing, and I do talk about this in the interview as well. So sorry, you'll hear it again there, but I just want to make sure everybody knows is each episode that I do, I'm going to be asking the guest to pick a charity, like their favorite charity or just something they think needs support. And then I will be making a donation to that charity. Partly with some of the money that comes in from supporters and partly with my own money. So I'm really excited about it because I think it gives us a chance to talk about different organizations that need support. Each person on each episode will get to talk about like the things that they care about and want to support. And then there will be a guaranteed donation each episode to the charity or organization of the guest's choosing. Now, the amount of those donations is not going to be like a crazy a lot of money or anything because, I'm not a rich person. So, and I do have some lovely, lovely supporters, but, you know, we're not like rolling in the dough here. So, you know, it's not going to be huge amounts, but I do want to make, you know, probably I'll start with at least maybe like a $10 to $20. Definitely 20 if I'm only doing like one episode a month right now. But you know, it's something and it's something that's going to go to that charity and us talking about the charity will raise awareness. Maybe you guys will learn about some cool organizations that you want to donate to. So I'm pretty excited about it. And then the more support the podcast gets, like if I get more financial supporters, the more that I can maybe up those donations each time. So I think it's a good idea. I'm excited about this idea. I hope you guys are too. My guests this week are Brian and Michelle, also known as B-Man and Michelle. They are a trap rock musical duo that live in Key West. And I was actually introduced to them by Dan Smith, who you've heard on the podcast before. And they're going to be my first guest to do this donation thing with. So I am looking forward to that. And I think that was the only main thing that I wanted to let you guys all know about before we get into the interview. This is, like always, a pretty long episode, so I don't want to ramble on too much. Except to say that, like, I'm doing pretty good, and I hope you guys are doing as well as possible out there. You know, it's the holidays coming up, so I hope you're having a good holiday season, and this all feels like something I should be saying at the end of the podcast now. So, without further ado, let us go to B-Man and Michelle. Hello and welcome to this week's guests on Blame It on Buffett. And they are Brian and Michelle, also known as B-Man and Michelle, with emphasis on shell, right? Because it's like beachy.
Very tropical.
Yes, I like it. I like it. Do you go by B-Man and Michelle like all the time with friends, or is that more just your like music personas? Like when if you're walking down the street, do people yell, "Hey, B-Man," or do they yell, "Hey, Brian"?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because living here in Key West, you know, we have so many friends that we know, and there are mornings. I mean, I walk on this island 3 to 5 miles a day, and when I'm walking down the street, I'll hear people yell, "Hey, B, hey, B man," and you know, and some people call me Brian, but mostly it's, you know, the B or B man, and that's just kind of how, you know, that
tell your history.
Well, the history of it was, you know, I mean, military. We were both retired military. And, you know, usually
in
the military,
the Air Force, right?
I'm sorry.
You're both in the Air Force.
Yes.
Awesome.
And usually what happens is one of three things will happen. They'll either call you by your last name. They'll give you a derogatory name, you know, or you get like a nickname of sorts. Mine was always, you know, B, you know, for Brian, Hey, B man. And that just stuck through pretty much my entire career. And then after retirement, I just kept with the B-Man on a lot of projects that we used to do, whether it was B-Man and Michelle or B-Man and the Misbehavins for music. I had B-Man Productions. And then we have, I had a business. It was called Bee Sting Ventures. You know, so that's just kind of how everything kind of stuck. And that's how kind of people get to know me down here. And
for me, it's really just a change in the spelling for the most part. It's not really. I mean, Michelle, you know.
Right. It's just the hyphen and like the S with the emphasis on the S. So it's like Shell.
Yeah.
Well, it was a rebranding for us, too, because when we had B-Man and the Misbehavins, and then when we moved from Albuquerque to Key West, it was, what do we call ourselves now? What do you, you know, so you know, mine was easy. I'm B-man, but you know, what did Michelle want? And she came up with, you know, Michelle, you know, with the hyphen.
I considered Shelley and versions of that, but I've never really gone by Shelley at any time in my life. So it didn't feel natural to do that. So.
Yeah. And it seems to work really well because it kind of, you know, mirrors like B-man is like sort of the two syllable has the hyphen, and then Michelle is sort of two syllable has the hyphen. So it kind of like, it really flows when you say it as a whole.
Yeah. Together. I guess I never thought of it that way.
Well, it worked out.
Good point.
You weren't intending it, but it worked out well. And I guess, yeah, B-man is a lot better nickname than probably a lot of nicknames you could have gotten. So that's.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was thankful for that.
Did you guys meet when you were in the Air Force? Is that how you met? Or
we did. Like,
take me back to the origins of B-man and Michelle.
Well, we were stationed in Korea. I was there first, and this was 1999, 2000. So we were there for the millennium. Mm-hmm. And
you had gotten there in October.
Yeah, I got there in October.
I arrived in mid-December, early December.
Something like that, yeah. And I ran a passenger terminal. So, you know, we'd have all the commercial airliners come through with all the military bringing those folks to Korea and taking those folks out of Korea back to the States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw her on the airplane. We called their names, you know, people who were in our squadron. She came off. I was like, ooh, she's cute. And, you know, we had a friendship there, and, you know, it for a while, I mean,
I was his boss.
Yeah, she was my boss. So
I was his boss's boss.
So, you know, it just over time, you know, we would all hang out as a group. And then when I moved back to the D.C. area, she ended up coming back, you know, needed another assignment. And it just so happens I knew there was another person leaving. She got his assignment, and then we ended up in the D.C. area together. And the rest is history.
Awesome. You're both before you met, even very musical people. Was that something that you sort of bonded over? Like, did you sort of start doing music things together like before you were a couple, or did that sort of come about after you were more of a couple?
We didn't play together or anything, but we kind of, you know, we're both parrot heads. We weren't official parrot heads at the time, but, you know, we liked Jimmy Buffett. We kind of had that kind of thing going on. I think we had both probably started playing guitar around the same time in our lives, but I don't know if we knew that about each other.
Yeah.
Time.
Well, you know, if we go back to Korea for a second, you know, in the squadron, I was probably the biggest parrot head along with Michelle, you know, I would always play Jimmy Buffett music at what we called our hooch, which was the, you know, our squadron bar that we had where we all hung out and made dinners together and drank together and floated kegs and, you know, unfloated kegs and put them back in the water. But, you know, I was huge with the Buffett thing, you know, especially because I had come from the D.C. area to Korea back to D.C. And, you know, Buffett was always a big part of, you know, what I did, you know, not so much music, but we go to the concerts and stuff. And so, yeah. And you know, since I was 13 years old, I started playing. But once I went in the Air Force, I really stopped for a long period of time. I would pick the guitar up and goof around, but I never really performed and I never really wrote any songs and anything. There was a big number of years there I did nothing.
So what made you sort of get back into it?
Probably my last few years here in the DC area, I had a guy that worked with me. He played music.
He had a little band
that I got involved with. I had another little band in the bio. I think if you read that, you know, we had the Garage Boys, and, you know, we would sit in my garage and we would all practice and we called ourselves the Garage Boys. So, I mean, things started to kind of evolve from there. Yeah, we had some pretty fun gigs. It was funny because, you know, I had to not play for a while because I was going through a divorce. And so for me, it was, you know, my mind was in other areas that I really couldn't focus on music. But when the time came for me to get back into it, they had replaced me. But the sad part was, is at the they get like $300 gigs you know, to get paid. But at the end of the night, they owed the bar $300 on top of what they had, what they were going to get paid. So, cause they were drinking like crazy. So
I guess that's their own fault then, huh?
So I basically said, I go, here's the deal.
I'll manage you.
I'll manage you guys. I'll get you your gigs and I get to play third set. Okay. And I got 10% of whatever they made. And if, and everybody who drank had their own bar tab aside from what they got paid that night. So,
so part of you managing them was just managing their drinking at the shows to make sure they weren't.
They could drink as much as they wanted. It just, you got to pay for your own because it was unfair to, you know, some of the band members who didn't drink as much or didn't drink at all. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I could see that being a danger of like, oh yeah, you have a bar tab because you're playing the show, but then actually that money is just coming out of the money that you're getting paid.
Yeah, yeah, they owe the bar $300 and they're like, oh, and you owed us another $300. So, I mean, at the end of the night, they owe the bar $600 just in drinking and goofing and eating. And I'm like, you know, they're out there buying their friends drinks. And I'm like, this just doesn't work this way. And I can help fix this. And they started getting some good gigs and they started having money in their pocket, especially the ones who weren't heavy drinkers or bought everybody in the house a drink. You know, they were starting to get paid. So life is a little happier for them.
And then you eventually started. So that was the Garage Boys, was the band that was drinking too much.
Well,
or that was your, that was the other
I went
band.
From the Garage Boys to what we call the Jim Seymour Band. My friend Jim, who I worked with, had started his band. So I kind of like graduated from us playing in the garage to being in the Jim Seymour Band. Gotcha. And
managing the Jim Seymour.
And then managing the Jim Seymour Band. But, I mean, we got some really cool gigs. You know, we played at the Pentagon Marina. I got him a really nice gig.
The Dining Inn?
The Dining Inn on Andrews Air Force Base. We had that.
Which paid $1,000.
Yeah, paid a lot of good money. So, I mean, I was bringing them some money in just by the contacts that we had. And they were happy with that. They should be.
Yeah, I mean, so was that just because, like, you had connections because it was an Air Force base? Or did they just have, like, oh, we need bands, and you saw that they needed bands?
I think it's kind of both. I mean, I knew people in the different, you know, parts of the Air Force because, you know, I worked with the Air National Guard folks, but I was active duty Air Force. So I had some contacts in many other places. And then it's just going out to different bars and handing them a flyer and some music to say, here's a good band you should hire, you know, and that's just kind of how it all worked out, you know, for them, you know, at that point.
That's really interesting. Cause other than, you know, like trap rock musicians that I've interviewed that manage themselves, I've actually never really talked to someone. I don't think that like managed was kind of like just the manager of a band, you know, not like part of the band. So that's like a really interesting perspective that I think is probably really different in the music world than being involved. You know, there's like, you're the musician or like the, hearing about like the producing side was like, I didn't really know anything about that when I interviewed a couple people. But this is like something that is also new to me. So that's a really interesting thing to hear about. Cause I'm sure, especially being also a musician, you can kind of be like, okay, we should be doing this. Like, don't do that.
Well, you know, I think that helped, you know, what I did at that end of when I say managing and finding them gigs, it helped in what we're doing today. You know, I learned something from that. And you're always learning something. I mean, there's so much social media. It just, you know, is so vast. And just when you think you know everything, then there's like five other things that pop up. I mean, I've had people say, you should get on TikTok. And I'm like, I don't want to get on TikTok, you know? And
yeah, I'm not even on TikTok, to be honest. It's just like too many. I can only really manage like two or three. And that's only if I really focus mostly on one social media. So
yeah, I mean, it's again, it's vast. But I think what I helped with the Jim Seymour Band helped me, you know, in certain ways with our music and producing and such.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Probably, I think we've avoided some missteps and things also because Brian's sister used to be in a band with several band members, kind of like the Jim Seymour Band. And she kind of wound up managing them a lot of the time because she was really the only responsible one. And so we heard a lot of her horror stories and tales and kind of learn from that as well.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I forgot about that, Michelle, you brought, that's a good point. Cause you know, my sister was involved with bands. She managed. And at one point I was helping her cause she was in another musical band and I would help advertise and share her stuff just, you know, on that side. So yeah, I forgot all about that. Good Lord.
There's probably a difference. While all of that like really helped, there's probably kind of a difference though, maybe between being in, you know, just sort of like, not like a regular band. I don't think there's any such thing as like a regular band, but what sort of like the niche that you guys are in now is so sort of like specific and, you know, you probably kind of have, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you know, you kind of have maybe sort of a built-in crowd that you develop pretty easily just because it's, you know, people are going to Key West, they go to see your show and it's like, oh, well, that's all, you know, they're there and they like the music and they like Key West. So it's not so much maybe like, a you know, trying to like book gigs in all these places, but do you guys still tour around the country and stuff, even though you are sort of based in Key West now?
We can, we haven't as much. Brian's kind of stuck here on the rocks. It's hard to get him off.
I understand that for sure. When I go to Key West, I don't want to leave either. So,
well, I think for us, you know, because once we moved to Albuquerque, I mean, I'd never really consider myself trop rock. We just played music.
Right.
And I wasn't writing anything. You know, I was trying to catch up on all our cover songs and things like that. But I think once I hit Albuquerque.
That's when we found out more about the trop rock.
Yeah. We got more into the Parrot Head thing out there. We got more into the trop rock.
We're exposed to more trop rockers.
Yeah. And, you know, for us, it's been an education. I think trop rock, in my opinion, you know, it's still trying to jumpstart itself. I mean, the following is growing. But for us, it was trying to get out there for people to know who we are, get to know our music. It was tough to get people to accept who we are. At times we've kind of broken that pattern now to where people know who we are. I love house concerts. House concerts are so much more fun than
playing in a bar.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't know about the playing side, but I would rather go to a house concert than a bar just because they're so much more like friendly and intimate feeling.
Yeah,
it is. You know, people listen. People
are there to see you specifically. Right. So, you know, they're.
Right. They're still drinking a lot, but they're there specifically to see you. So it's not like you're getting in the way of their drinking. You're guiding them upon their drinking journey.
And you know, a lot of clubs encourage the fact that you're here to see the artist. Please respect the artist and listen to the music and, you know, pay the respects, you know.
Yeah. That's good that the places that you're playing are sort of putting that statement out there. Cause you hear about a lot of stories, at least talking to other musicians, I've heard about a lot of stories like back in the day when they started playing, you know, it was kind of just like, well, they're just sort of like background music and no one is really there to see them. And so I'm glad that that's not necessarily the case now.
Yeah. That's you don't get a whole lot of that down here in Key West. You know, a lot of it's more bars. You know, we have played one, maybe two house concerts down here. I think it's about right. I had a friend, you know, on the other street from us.
There are people with big backyards here.
Yeah.
But I think the issue with Key West is everybody is drawn to the bar.
Right.
And that's where they want to see it. And they don't really do the house concert thing as much down here. You know, or you don't hear of it as much.
And even if you had a big backyard, I guess parking's an issue and it's difficult to do house concerts.
Yeah. I guess a lot of, I mean, like the house concerts I go to here, the musicians are coming from other places. Yeah. So it's more like they're traveling, you know, sort of doing a house concert tour almost where they travel around and play house concert sort of in different places. But I could understand that if you have a lot of gigs in Key West without needing to do that, then maybe it's not worth like traveling all over the place.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, Michelle. Oh, I thought Michelle had something. Anyway, you know, I mean, for for us, I mean, I do find it hard to leave the island anymore. I love it down here. I do miss the house concert scene. And we do every now and then get invited up to the mainland in Florida to go play at, Cape Coral. Although the last four times we tried playing that, something always happened where, you know, they had a death, you know, one of their friends, you know, husband passed away, you know, which was sad. And, you know, so that had to get canceled and we changed it to another date and then something else happened. So it's been a little crazy trying to, you know, hit that Cape Coral area. But, you know, when we do get the opportunity to go north, you know, in Florida, then we do. And we try to do something and make it fun. We played for the Villages Parrothead Club. That was a fun one.
Have you played for clubs in different places, or like after being in the club, is that something that you, I mean, I guess that's sort of what a lot of the house concerts, at least for me, like here in Arizona, a lot of the house concerts are facilitated through the club. But not always. I mean, sometimes people host them that aren't necessarily in the Parrothead Club. They just know of the musician and really like the musician, but yeah, I mean, I could see the club being sort of like an intro into that.
I mean, we've tried to.
We played Memphis, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've gone on the road in the RV. You know, we played out in Memphis for the Parrothead Club out there. Little Rock Parrotheads wanted us to come out. It just didn't work for us, you know, based on the time frame. You know, I've always talked about going out to the Arizona Parrothead Club when we lived in Albuquerque, but, you know, that never really worked out. I know Kathy Pfister was trying to work some stuff out for us.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, it's all timing. You know, we played Fence of the West a few years ago. We went out there for that. And, you know, Tommy Rockers there in Vegas is just the coolest guy. And whenever we're out there, he always makes sure that he gets us a spot there at his bar, Tommy Rockers. And we always appreciate that.
I've only been to a Buffett concert in Vegas once, but the sort of like pre-party for it was at Tommy Rockers, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. Playing for other Parrothead clubs, we love doing it. We do it a lot for our club down here in Key West. You know, at one point there was talk, you know, they had made a comment, or one of the new guys that was going to take over at one point was like, "We'll make you the house band." And I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want to be the house band because there's a lot of other musicians down here. You know, we want to play for the club. We want to share our music, but we also want to see other musicians come in and play too.
Yeah. You know? And that's definitely, there's a lot of musicians. I mean, like you said, like there is a ton of musicians down there, and it's amazing going down. I mean, I've only been to Key West during four Meeting of the Minds. So I haven't even had like the regular relaxing Key West experience. I've had the, we have to go to this musician and then this musician. And you know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's so many acts to see.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's obviously during Meeting of the Minds, but it seems like even during regular times, there's always music at like tons of places.
Yeah. You know, us coming down here, I mean, you know, you got the Casa Marina, and we don't really stay at the Casa Marina a whole lot. I mean, we actually float around Key West to the other locations to see a lot of other people.
Well, anymore, you don't even do that. Well, he's tied to his songwriter showcase for the week for the most.
We did for the last 4 years. I partnered with Tiki Man Radio out of Chattanooga, Danny Lynn, and he and I do the Tiki Man Radio Songwriter Showcase Key West Bound. Mm. And for the last 4 years, we've had a lot of great artists come through. We've watched this thing grow from, you know, 32 people the first year to last year we had 56 people, musicians that came in.
This year was virtual.
This year we did a virtual show, although I had some musicians here, but the virtual show, we went around the nation to different locations and brought the artist on video so that this person could share his music with other people who couldn't come to Key West.
That's really awesome. Yeah, I didn't go this year like a lot of people didn't. So that's really cool to produce. Because I know people still did go and musicians still went, but that's cool to produce something for people who, you know, are making the decision to stay home.
Yep. Well, and I think, you know, this was early on in the pandemic that I we wanted to be smart. How can we still bring the music? How can we share music? And, you know, I partnered with my sister. They have a company that does live video of surgeries, live surgeries. And they put that around the world, around, you know, the nation, everything. And so I got with them. We talked about it. We came up with a game plan. We were live from Key West because I had a few musicians here. And then Danny Lynn was live from his studio in Chattanooga. And then we went around from going from Key West. And then we went to New Jersey with Robin Tricker. From there, we went out to California. We had Jerry Gontang. From there, we went to Austin, Texas, where we had the Detentions. And Memphis, Tennessee, where we had none other than Keith Sykes join us.
Wow, that's cool.
Jeff Dayton out of Nashville. And if you don't know who Jeff Dayton is, I would highly look at his background because he used to be the band leader for Glenn Campbell.
Band manager.
Oh. I don't know if I do know who Jeff Dayton really is. So I'll have to check him out.
He's fabulous. This guy is just unbelievable. And we so appreciated him being a part of it. So, yeah. So, you know, this went live. There was a link. People could get on that link and can watch everything happening unfold. You know, we interviewed musicians. The musician then played their music. We had commercials. I mean, it was like watching the ACMs.
Cool. That sounds awesome. It's interesting, too. I think the live, different live events, for example, like yours, just that have happened generally during the pandemic, like people are doing, you know, Facebook streams, like Songwriters Showcase Facebook streams, they're doing all these different things. I have discovered way more musicians during this. I mean, not like I discovered them, but like they were new to me musicians during this year than, you know, the combined several years before that, just because, you know, in-person music is like, okay, well, we're going and this band's playing. And even if it's like a showcase, right, there might be a couple different bands. But when you're going to a venue, I feel like you're more likely to like, oh, we know we like this person, so we want to make sure we see them, right? Whereas like when you tune into like an online songwriter showcase, like, yeah, maybe you're tuning in because there's a musician there that you really like, or, you know, a sort of like if there's like a bigger name, right? Like Keith Sykes or something that's like going to draw people in. But then you just stay because you're just chilling at your house and watching online, and you end up listening to all these additional musicians that maybe you hadn't heard before. And so I think that's something that's really cool that's come out of just the situation with the pandemic is all these virtual things that never really happened before, I think are actually expanding the sort of, you know, view, like the expanding the world of not necessarily just trap rock, but kind of everyone that falls into being associated with that or might end up on some kind of event. And I just feel like it's helping people discover a lot more new musicians than maybe they would have otherwise. I mean, I know that's true for me. So
I think it's, you know, this has been a big eye opener for a lot of these musicians who never really dabbled in the video broadcasting world to, you know, share their music. And luckily having, you know, my sister, having, you know, platforms like Facebook and so many others, offer that opportunity to where you can start sharing your music. I mean, I've learned a lot just, you know, in less than a year in trying to get our music out there. I mean, we did this anyway with Facebook. I mean, I had somebody
Tuesday on the Island.
Yeah, we do our Tuesday on the Island show. And I forget, I think it might have been Rob Hill or somebody had said to me, because they came out with the quarantine concerts. Mm-hmm. And it might have even been Mike Nash, and said that Michelle and I were kind of the inventors or the, I'm trying, I can't remember, inspiration to making all this happen, because we'd already been doing it. So we were like leap years in front of some of these people, because I would get phone calls and text and messages from people saying, how do I do this? How do you do it? How do you and Michelle set up? What, you know, what do you do? So for us, we kind of had a leg in the water already, you know.
So we've been doing it, what, 2 years?
We had been doing it at least a year because we started our Tuesday on the Island just to go around and share a little Key West and be a little more personable with the audience to say, what song do you want to hear? You know, we open up with Coconut Telegraph, you know, it's Tuesday on the Island.
Yeah.
And
so that's the weekly show that you do at the Tasting Room?
Yes, that's our weekly show. That this coming July, it'll be 3 years we've been doing that.
Oh, that's really cool. I guess that also probably makes it harder, right, to want to travel when you have like a very regular weekly gig that, you know, it's like, okay, well, if we're going to go anywhere, we kind of either have to squeeze it in or we have to like give up one of our regular gigs to like go do a different gig. So is that like really a good trade-off?
What we've done before is call it Tuesday off the Island.
Oh.
But then sometimes it goes by the wayside if we're doing something else. We're like,
we'll
get around to it if we're traveling.
If we go up to the mainland or something and, you know, we'll do a Tuesday off the Island, like Michelle said, or we might try and make up like a makeup day. But what we have found that when we first started doing it, you know, I guess you weren't saying we were 100% dedicated because there were some days we just kind of skip it. But people were like, oh, man, I miss you guys. I wish you guys would have played. And then I was getting comments, you know, are you playing on Tuesday? And so I think we both learned that there is a following. People want to hear the music.
And they miss us.
And they miss us. And so I have to really prepare the audience, you know,
weeks in advance.
We are going on a vacation.
Like 2 months from now, we won't be here.
Yeah. It's funny. But you know, that's a good thing. I'm happy that, you know, people want to hear it and have fun with us.
It's their little weekly dose of Key West to watch.
Yeah, that's great. And everybody, I mean, it's kind of a good feeling as not necessarily as a musician, but like as a goer of two places to like feel like you're a regular somewhere, right? Like if you're a regular at a coffee shop and they like know what you order, like that's a fun feeling. And I feel like having a regular show that you go to where like you know the people that are doing the show, you always go, they're always there, you're always there. You know, I feel like that would be like kind of the same feeling where it's just like, oh, we know we can head down on Tuesday. We'll see B-Man and Michelle. We'll hang out with our friends that will be there. You know, it's like the Key West cheers.
Come in. Yeah. Well, you come in for a tasting, you know, even during our shows, because I'll watch the news feed and I try to be interactive with the audience and answer what questions I can. But, you know, I you always see somebody like this past week, I went back and I always go back through the thread of what people write and I, you know, like it or I'll comment on it. And I mean, there are people like, see you next week. We're going to be in Key West. Can't wait to see you. Can I come in and hang out and watch you live? And yeah, come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm hoping, my hope as an audience member is that coming out of this situation, like once things are actually better, that people will still continue to do some of this online stuff, because I think, like you said, it sort of creates like a continual presence in people's minds, right? So if a musician comes and plays a house concert in my town once a year, that's awesome. And I will always go to those because like, I know the musicians that I like, and it's not like I'm not listening to those musicians' music outside of the house concert. I am, but to be able to like watch somebody play live more often, even if that's like virtually live, I think really keeps you engaged in being a fan of them and, you know, really actively following what they're doing and like participating in their shows, like buying their new merch or whatever, versus, you know, maybe if they come for a house concert, it's like, oh, great, I'm going to buy a t-shirt, I'm going to buy a CD. But then maybe you're not, you know, really following them as closely to buy other stuff throughout the year until the next year they come. But like online shows, you can put up your virtual tip jar. You know, like I feel like I've spent more money on supporting the artists that I like through virtual stuff than I have in-person stuff. And that's just because like, I just don't get to do as much in-person stuff. So I think, I mean, like, I'm not a musician, so I can't say if like financially, if it's great, but it seems to me that like, it would be pretty awesome as a viewer to be able to continue to see those kinds of shows, even after things get better.
I'll say this, that, you know, through our virtual shows, we have probably sold more swag and got and received more tips
than we do in person
than we would in person down here.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I felt like was maybe the case. But once again, I'm not on the musician side of it, so I didn't really know. But you just have, it's so easy to just like hit the button. And, you know, every time I'm on a virtual stream, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll just shoot some money to their tip jar, you know. And not that I'm not tipping in person, I am. But like, I'm not in person as much as I am watching the virtual shows.
Well, the first part of our, you know, during this pandemic, you know, there is an, you know, we were trying, how can we help people down here? And one of the persons that we helped is the iconic Catman, who has his cat show out on Mallory Square. And
we're cat people.
We're cat people. Yeah.
I am also a cat person, but I have never seen this cat show. And now I'm very sad.
Yeah, you gotta look up Google Key West Catman.
Yes.
Hey, I definitely will be doing that. I think it's because during Meeting of the Minds, I'm literally going from like musician to musician and like not doing anything.
Exactly.
Else.
Exactly.
I so, really need to go just some other time of the year, I feel like.
So we decided.
Because he's not allowed to. Or hadn't been allowed
yeah,
to
he hadn't been allowed to do his shows on Mallory Square because everything
was shut down. Mallory Square was shut down.
Sorry for the jet going by.
Oh, no worries.
But so we said, let's do this. And we, when we put our tip jar up there, we said all the donations that we get, all the tips, are going to the Catman.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so the first half, we raised $500.
In about 3 months or so.
In about 3 months. And we took that over to him. And I mean, he's a very humble guy. He's like, he goes, no, I'll split this with you. He wasn't going to take it at first, but then I talked him into it and he's like, you take half, I take half. And I'm like, okay. But I gave him the whole thing.
You're like, the half is $500.
And then we've raised a few hundred more since that first batch, but I'm not going to take it over to him because I know he won't take it. So we're going to, Michelle and I are going to drop it in his tip jar once he gets moving again on Mallory Square.
That's really great. I love that you're supporting fellow acts that don't have the outlet, like virtual. Although, like, get him on a virtual show because I will watch the heck out of that cat show.
It's a really cute show.
Yeah, if he had a good place to set up, I think people would watch that.
Yeah, totally. I know I would. I'd be like tipping left and right on that.
Yeah, he it's a really cute show. He's, you know, and but he's an icon, you know, for Key West. And, you know, how can we help? How can we help somebody, you know? And I mean, he might be well off. But you know what? We're thinking of the cats.
Yeah, totally. Just be like, no, it's not for you. It's for the cats.
But, you know, I mean, Michelle was the brainchild of our Tuesday on the Island. And it was her idea before we left New Mexico, and it wasn't the Tuesday on the Island concept, but it was just like, let's start doing.
Well, I actually kind of stole it a little bit from Danny Hoy. Danny Hoy, I noticed when she would play, would set up her phone and just, you know, do a little Facebook Live for a while. Not her whole show, but probably a good half hour or so.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, that's a cool idea, you know, so.
Yeah. The only person that I knew that did like Facebook online stuff before this was Bob Carwin. But that wasn't like him streaming live shows that he was playing. It would just be like him playing some songs at his house live. You know
him
what I mean?
Him being Bob.
Yeah. Him being Bob Carwin, which I mean is all you really need. But yeah, it was like he was the only one even really doing that I knew about. Like I said, I have learned about a lot more musicians this year. But yeah, it's kind of surprising, you know, that you wouldn't just like get when you have that, especially Facebook, I feel like is the social media that sort of the parrot head world uses the most. Like all of my parrot head friends are on Facebook more than they are on any other social medias. So I feel like just doing, like hopping on and doing some stuff on Facebook, like can't hurt, even if it isn't like your main thing. But I just, yeah, I hadn't seen a ton of people really doing it before, except Carwin.
Yeah, Bob, I'd watch his stuff, and it, he'd pop in on ours every now and then. And you know, we've known Bob for a while now, so he likes to throw his jabs and teasing, and we do too.
Just to go back and forth a little bit.
You know, we have fun. You know, it's all in good fun, and he's a great guy, and yeah.
But I guess to finish this out on or not to finish yet, but we plan on continuing that, and I think Brian's looking at broadcasting at least one of the days this coming year, if it's not virtual, right? You're still going to do like a coconut.
Yeah, yeah.
Vision.
We're trying to
for the songwriter showcase.
Yeah.
Another airplane.
Another airplane. Sorry.
That's okay. This is real life.
Hey, this is a real interview, folks.
Right. I'm not just doing multiple voices here. There are other people.
No, we're going to do our Tuesday on the Island, and I'm looking at some other possibilities, some other thoughts that are crossing my head, with, you know, pushing, you know, what we do, but. You know, with the Songwriter Showcase, which is our fifth year coming up, we are looking, you know, hopefully we're back to normal. We'll do what we normally do from the last 3 years. But we're also looking at being able to go live video with that. So people who don't come to Key West will be able to experience the Tiki Man Radio Songwriter Showcase in real time.
Right. Oh, yeah. So the Songwriter Showcase... that's a different thing from me. Like, you don't do that during Meet the Minds, right? It's like a
separate... That is during Meet the Minds.
But isn't there some kind of music festival or songwriter showcase that Key West puts on that's at a different time of year? Or am I getting that wrong?
There are, yeah, there are several.
Mile Zero, there's
Yeah, the Key West Songwriters Festival.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Which is in May. And that's sponsored by BMI. So Key West kind of turns into Little Nashville.
Then there's Mile Zero, and I forget who does that.
Mile Zero is out of Texas. It's Austin, a group out of Texas that pretty much most of their following comes from Texas. But they get some really good acts in there too.
And then what's in September? August or September? That's the local one.
I forget what that one is. So
there's so many.
Yeah, there really is. But you know, ours.
But yeah, you got Meeting of the Minds time.
You got Meeting of the Minds, right. And then you've got so many other little things. That you got something happening at Hog's Breath. You have something happening at Smoke and Tuna. Something happening over at First Flight.
The Lighthouse
is my favorite. I honestly spend more time at the Lighthouse than I do at the Casa usually.
Yeah, you know, and for us, I mean, we were approached by the Tiki House. I mean, actually, Michelle and I are playing in the Tiki House. They hired us and... You know, we're the band in there playing for a little bit along with a few others. And the manager is like, what do you know about this Meeting of the Minds stuff? And I'm like, I know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically the question was, can we do something here at the Tiki House? And I'm like, we can make that happen. That's easy. I know enough of the musicians out there. You know, initially it was supposed to be one day, but, you know, it's
3 days.
It ended up being 3 days, and now our event is 4 days, you know, where we start Wednesday afternoon, and it runs all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We start 11 in the morning, and we go all the way till 10 o'clock at night.
And then just to show, like, how much music there is going on during this time, I don't think I've ever been to that. And I've been to a lot of different things in Key West. Like, I spend a lot of time not at the Casa, but I have not been to that show. So I'll have to try to get to it next time.
I guess it depends on when's the last time you were in Key West.
It was 2018.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
That was our second year.
That was our second year. So
it was at the Tiki House, you know, right next to a Captain Tony's and, you know, across from us. Sloppy Joe's, but I think it's probably going to be somewhere different than this.
Yeah, this coming year, we're actually moving it to Rick's.
Not the Inside Rick's.
It's the Rick's, the Dirty Harry's, that complex there. I don't know if you know where Angela's Pizza is. Everybody loves Angelina's.
I think I know where that is.
Okay, well, it's right there is Rick's up front, and in the back is Dirty Harry's. the stage, and it's got a lot of room. We've got food. They're very accommodating, and they're
semi-outdoor, so it was safe for COVID.
They're happy to have us back this year. I talked with them the other day, and they're already excited and can't wait. I got Tiki Man coming in March, so we can start all of our big discussions, and we're just waiting to see what happens with COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully by next November, end of October, beginning of November, things might be shaping up a little bit. We can only hope.
But you know, I both Michelle and I are logisticians. We're planners. And if we can't do our normal 4 days like we've done in the past, we will revert to what we did this year. We're a lot smarter with what we did this year. So going into next year, if we find ourselves in that situation again, we'll do another virtual one, and it may even be bigger. Yeah. You know, it's hard to say, but we have game plans for either.
Honestly, I know, you know, when it's not needing to be virtual, it would be harder to make that call, because like when you have a ton of people there in person, like that's all you really need. But going forward, like it would be pretty cool to have something for people who can't make it to Meeting the Minds, you know, any year, not necessarily like because of COVID, but just because of what, like I haven't been every year. I've only been twice, you know, and I would totally pay like, you know, even $20 or whatever the thing was to be able to at least watch something, you know, online and pretend like I was there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you bring up a good point, because our event is free. It's been free for the last 4 years.
Which is awesome, but I'm just saying I would pay money.
And what we're going to move forward again for our fifth year is it's going to be free. But where we're going to find the ability for us to do that is getting sponsors to sponsor the cam, getting sponsors to sponsor certain things. And I've been pretty lucky with that. This year, I didn't do a whole lot just because of the pandemic. But going into next year, we've already got ideas. I've already got people who have stepped up to say, I will sponsor a camera for the day.
What's kind of the rates for that?
Well, we're working that out right now. So I don't have quite the answer for that. And that's one of the big things. Once we get through the holidays, that myself, Danny Lynn, and a few other folks are going to sit down and iron all this stuff out. I know what I would like it to be, but I want this to, you know, we're a team, and, you know, there's no I in team, I always say. So we work it together.
I'm not sure what it's going to be, but especially if there's maybe like smaller segments that aren't a whole day, you can get back at me, because I think Blame It on Buffett podcast could probably sponsor at least a short amount of time.
We would love that. I mean, there's different things, and I'll reach back out to you on this. There's a lot more to come.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I we're already 45 minutes in, and there's so many other things that I want to make sure we get to a little bit.
Sure.
So I want to talk about going back to your Albuquerque days a little bit. We've talked a lot about you as musicians, but I want to talk a little bit more about you guys as Jimmy Buffett fans, as Parrot Heads. Like, when did you both get into Jimmy Buffett? Like, what made you first start to love Jimmy Buffett? And then maybe we can talk about sort of being in the club a little bit.
I probably had the Songs You Know by Heart album.
Yeah, I guess in college.
So I'd say probably college, if not earlier. And after that, my first concerts were, I was in the St. Louis area and saw him in, I think, either 95 and 96 or 96 and 97. And I guess I kind of always just considered myself a Parrot Head, although I didn't really know there was such thing as official clubs or anything like that.
So. Well, the official club, I mean, has been around for a while now, but in sort of the extent that it is now, definitely not as long.
Yeah. You know, for me, I've always been a Buffett fan. The military for us, I mean, I always had Buffett with me. I always played it and stuff like that. But, you know, and once we moved to Albuquerque and we found a club that was out there and we got involved with that club. I think the rest is history. We just, every year we did something different. Every year, you know, we ramped up our game, you know, to where we got involved being on the board. You know, I was a president for two terms. Michelle, when I wasn't a part of it, Michelle was secretary for our club. We had a lot of young members. You know, every year the issue is, how do you get more young people to come? And the question would always come back to the Parrot Heads of New Mexico of, how do you guys do it? And, you know, there's a lot of answers to that question on how we did it, but, you know, we did it. And, you know, to this day, we're still, you know, members of the club. Actually, tomorrow night, we're having a Zoom with the club.
Zoom happy hour.
Zoom happy hour.
Oh, fun.
You know, so we stay connected with them. And I think, you know, our experience and the people we knew and know, bringing more Trop Rockers out there, doing more Buffett stuff, it just exploded. Probably the only way I could say that.
Yeah, I think that the thing about sort of this whole virtual situation that we're in now too, is it might be kind of a benefit to, like, I know that Trop Rock and the Parrot Club are two separate things, right? There's some people that are really into Trop Rock. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're in the Parrot Club. It doesn't even necessarily mean that they like love Jimmy Buffett, but they love other artists. There's some people that are really just in it for Jimmy and they're in the club and like, they don't care as much about the other. So like, I know it's not like a blanket statement, right? I don't want people adding me about this in the comments. But I think there is obviously a large amount of crossover, right, between the Parrothead Club world and the Trop Rock world. And especially now with a lot of musicians sort of being brought into the Trop Rock fold that aren't even really that Trop Rock, but like they are just by way of they're good songwriters and, you know, they're becoming friends with other musicians that are in the Trop Rock world. So they're ending up on some of these virtual shows. I think those kinds of things and the virtualness of it has maybe helped with that because we're sort of getting to see a lot more musicians than maybe we would have otherwise. Like maybe that kind of thing will help spread the word, right? So if it's like, oh, you know, my friend told me about this musician and then I watched this virtual show and then I learned about these other musicians that are like Trop Rock and then I discovered the Parrothead Club. So that's like my, I don't know if that will happen, but that's like my dream is that maybe all of this online virtual stuff will sort of make, like raise awareness with some of the younger people out there.
I think it does. What I find interesting is we have, with our listenership, because we're Trop Rockers. We're members of the Trop Rock Association. You know, we're in that list of other musicians and we're proud to be there. We've worked hard. You know, but our show, we try to make it, you know, we bring Buffett in, but I don't try to do too much Buffett. Cause you know, I try to think of other people who are like, I don't want all the Buffett. I want some more of this. So we really
mix it up,
give it a good mix and we get a good listenership. I play other Trop Rock artist songs. I'll play other covers. But what I have found is, and I know this for a fact because they've actually come to the tasting room and we had a guy come in a few weeks ago that was down here and he just thinks the world of us. He'll request not only a Buffett song, but he'll request another artist song if we know it. So I think that's, I think with what you were just saying there, you know, by the virtual side of things, you know, seeing the Trop Rocker, seeing a Parrot Head, that those are kind of merging.
But I think what she's getting at though too is be a catalyst for getting younger Parrot Heads involved.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or just like bringing more young people into the whole Parrot Head Trop Rock world.
And the one guy I was talking about, I think where I was going another direction as well, is he's younger.
Right.
And that's what we're finding where a lot of, you know, from what we do, we're seeing a little bit younger crowd watching us and following us.
Yeah. Well, and for me, just in my own experience, like starting this podcast this year, basically, I have met through having this podcast and like having the social media for it, I've met way more young Buffett fans and Trop Rock, but a lot of actual just like Buffett fans than I had known altogether throughout the rest of my life. So like, I think that like we're out there, there hasn't been something to sort of like rally the younger generation of Buffett fans and like bring us together. Cause like, I just feel like younger fans aren't, besides me, I guess, aren't really like joining the clubs as much or that kind of thing. But like, I met Dan Smith this year, who, you know,
he's
one of the biggest Buffett fans I know. So it's been really exciting for me to be able to use the virtualness also to sort of meet fellow younger fans too.
I think I'm going to add to this, and I don't want to upset anybody who listens to this.
There's three people listening, so I don't think you need to worry.
But I think what we have to, you know, and I'm going to put myself in that old
fogey
that
quote unquote old
to make the change, you know, in a club, because you know we are getting older. Mm-hmm. We've got to let the younger crowd come in and let them do things too. You know, let them be a part of it. Let them take
ownership.
Listen to their ideas. And I think that's hard for some people because a lot of them get under the mindset of we tried that once a long time ago. Well, maybe it'll work now.
Either that or they just don't, you know, it's like, well, we always have our meetings on Wednesdays and we don't want to have them on a different day or, you know, and so
I think we just have to get out, you know, and you know, step back, you know, turn our faces, cringe a little bit, and don't let them see it. But, you know, let the younger generation come in a little bit, you know, as long as they understand the value of what the club is, you know, what we do for Jimmy Buffett. We party with a purpose.
Right.
No,
right.
It's, you know, here's our principles. And I think some good things will happen. We saw it in our club in New Mexico.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really good to hear. So I'm in the Tucson club. I'm friends with a ton of people from the Phoenix club too, because we do Parrot Grande and stuff together. But like my club is the Tucson club and it's pretty small compared to some. And there's not really a ton of, it's like me and then a couple of kids of people sometimes come. But I'm like the only one that's just there by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not really like a, like, I've been pretty happy to just do what we're doing. Like, I'm not like, we need to make big changes or anything. But definitely, like, the club as a whole across the country, it would be nice if we could get some more young people in just because, like, you know, I don't want to be the only person in the club eventually. So yeah, that's really good to hear that in Albuquerque you did have sort of an influx of younger people just because. And I love, like, I'm an only child. My parents are, you know, older. They didn't have me like when they were super young or anything. So I grew up just hanging out with my parents and their friends all the time. So I'm super comfortable hanging out with like people that are a generation older than me. But I think if we want to keep the clubs going, then we kind of need to try and bring in some new people. So
exactly.
That's nice to hear. And I'm glad that you brought up the party with a purpose thing, because that, leads me to segue into a new thing that I'm doing with the podcast. I have always sort of said that I'm going to be donating to some charities and stuff on behalf of the podcast, just to continue in that mindset of giving back that I know is like a big part for a lot of people of being a Parrot Head, of being a Jimmy Buffett fan. But they've sort of been just like haphazard me deciding on something. So I'm implementing a new thing where each time I have a guest on, the guest gets to pick a charity that they really care about or would like to see supported. And then I will make my donation to that charity. Obviously for the listeners, it's not going to be a huge, like I don't have a ton of money, but I do have some people who people who are supporting the podcast in small amounts. And I really, really appreciate that. So some of the money from that will be going to this, and then just some of my own money. So what do you guys have, a charity that you would like to be the one that I'm going to support for this episode?
We do. Again, we've talked about being cat people before and everything, and we love all the furries and the non-furries, I guess, but Florida Keys SPCA.
Oh, yay! I'm so excited. Animals are like my favorite. So obviously if you had picked like something terrible, not that there are terrible charities, but if you had picked something I don't really care about, I still would have totally donated because that's the whole point of this. But I'm very excited that it's about animals, because that is one of my favorite things to donate to. So,
well, I was going to tell Michelle, the, the if you ever watch Seinfeld, you know, the human fund.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, it'd be funny if musicians were on and they were like, yes, the charity I would like you to donate to is our PayPal. which I would totally do. But that's awesome. And thank you for choosing that. And I will just maybe connect with you afterwards to get, like, more details and stuff. But I'm super happy that that's going to be our first donation in this type of series. So thank you
so much. Well, that's awesome. That really makes us feel good. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I hope it'll bring, I don't know, like, I think part of, like, why I'm doing the podcast is partly because it's fun and I get to meet new, awesome people like you guys. Partly because, like I said, I'm hoping to maybe reach out in some way to some younger people, maybe get them more involved in the community. And then the third thing is, like, it's just a fun way to, like, have kind of a, avenue to give back through, you know. Obviously, like, I do things in my regular life, but to have something specific to this community, I think, is really fun. So thanks for being the inaugural guests that are doing this. I appreciate it.
I think it's awesome. So thank you.
Yeah. So I just want to quickly, talk a little bit more about, so you were in Albuquerque and then you just decided to move to Key West. Like, how did the Key West thing happen? Was it just like, you're like, we just want to move there? Or was there, like, a catalyst for that?
I think being Buffett fans, and we'd been down here for Meeting of the Minds, and we'd been down here at other times, and we have some friends down here. We're both retired at that point. And we knew we wanted to be somewhere close to the water. We like the walkability, the bikeability, not having to get in the car to go everywhere. And I think we just liked it.
It just felt right. I mean, we knew we wanted to do something. You know, when it comes, you know, we're here once a year, twice a year, three times a year. It's like, all right, it's time to make a decision. And, you know, Michelle did a lot of, you know, due diligence of, you know, looking at different places to stay. So we had our ducks in a row, and when we finally made the move, you know, it's about 4 years now that we've been on the island. We love it. We volunteer for a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I do a weekly volunteer. So, I mean, we're part of the community, and, you know, and it's cool when Buffett's in town, you know, it's a big deal when he's in town, and, you know, Lulu, his sister, just lives, you know, 3.5 blocks from us. And I run into her.
Actually, I don't think I knew that she lives there. I don't know why.
She lives there full time, but she's quite a bit of the time.
Yeah. She's about half time. Yeah. At least about half time total. You know, I mean, she'll come down. But yeah, it's fun to run into her. Yeah. I make tamales around the island. People love my tamales. So she got wind of it, and I sent her a message today, as a matter of fact, to say, hey, are you still wanting those tamales? So,
I mean, I'll take some. If she doesn't want them, you can send them to me. I don't know how well they would hold up.
I'm sure you have great tamales.
That's actually true. Tamales. You're right.
But yeah, so she lives just, you know, we run into her every now and then. I run into Kenny Chesney quite often when he's in town. So, that's, you know, it's just.
Cool. Yeah, it's just. Like, seems things are just laid back. I mean, if you run into her and she's ever like, man, I really would like to be on a podcast, you could be like, well, I know of one.
Hey, you know,
I'm just kidding. That's not, you're not obligated.
If she says, you know, if she wants some of the tamales, I'll make mention to her.
That's okay. You don't, I was just making a joke. I don't want you to feel obligated to do that.
Hey, you know what? Doesn't hurt to ask.
Funny, like, just pretty much all of, like, most of the guests I've had so far, I feel like I say this every episode, so sorry, listeners, but, like, most of the guests I've had so far are just people that were like, I had a guest, and then they were like, oh, you should talk to this person, or, like, and then that guest is like, oh, you should talk to this person. So I think my last, like, 4 or 5 guests has just been a chain of each guest referring me to somebody else. So, like, Dan Smith was the one who told me about you guys, and so it's been not difficult to get guests on the podcast, for sure, which I'm so grateful for, that people are excited to be on it. I really, really appreciate that. Do you guys have any Have you met Jimmy Buffett? This is an important question that I need to ask everybody. Sometimes I forget. Have you met Jimmy Buffett?
Never met the man.
Okay. Never met the man. Well, you know, it's, we've come so close. So
right,
close.
You played a tailgate or something, right? Once?
Yeah.
Well, when it was 2015 in New Mexico, October, he came back through and our Parrothead Club did a little tailgate party at the Downs Casino. And we were the opening band. Jim Morris, the late Jim Morris, who was an awesome guy, he played.
And Tommy Rocker.
That's how I got to meet Tommy Rocker. And we had such a blast. Such a blast. But, you know, I've met, Michelle and I have met pretty much most of the coral reefers.
I think all of the coral reefers.
Probably all of them. All of them, yeah. She's danced on stage with Nadira.
Nice.
Yeah, I could go on and tell stories forever on some of the folks we've met and some of the comments.
But yeah, we've been with either within a day or even sometimes within an hour. We just missed going that one day to Margaritaville when he was in there.
And oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've heard a lot of guests I've had on the podcast that are like, I was so close to like going to that one show when he was in Key West.
But then, I kind of know when he's in town because, you know, the rumors start.
Right.
And then he'll do these little pictures every now and then, you know, like, you know, in his Suburban or something. You're like, oh, I just saw that Suburban over there on the corner. I knew that was him.
Yeah.
That one time we were going by in the conch trolley for a Christmas light tour. And there was a cop in front of Margaritaville. And we're like, huh, why is there cops in front of Margaritaville? About 20 minutes later, get down here.
My phone was lighting up. Are you going to go see Jimmy's at Margaritaville?
Okay, like, so that's a clue. If you ever see a cop in front of Margaritaville, just go in there.
Yeah, and there was.
We would have had to hop off the conch. We're like, get in.
Stop.
And there would have been no way we would have got in there. It was so packed.
Well, if we'd have gone when we first saw the cop.
Yeah.
Right. That's the clue. The secret clue.
That now I guess the question would be, Jimmy, has Jimmy Buffett ever
seen us?
Hey, get him on the horn. Someone get Jimmy on the podcast and I'll ask him. I'll be like, so the big question, have you ever met B-Man and Michelle? It's very important. Forget about everything else. Most important.
Yeah, he probably, yeah, you won't be able to see it on the podcast. We have that deer in the headlight look like, what?
It's like, maybe. I feel like when you get older, right, you could just be like, maybe, but I don't remember. Like, you just have like an excuse, right, to be like, oh, maybe that could have been a thing, but if not, then it's just because I'm getting older and can't remember. And I'm not
yeah, that would be an interesting one if that question ever went to him.
Well,
like,
I'm sure you
in the 70s, it's like, I don't know, man, I was doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah, just on drugs the whole time, so who knows. I'm sure you will never be on the podcast, so we don't actually have to worry about it. Do you guys have other hobbies? Like, do you like to scuba dive? Do you like to surf, or like any sort of, you know, Jimmy style hobbies you like to do?
You know, I do a ton of things. I can't get on a board. Mm. I tried the paddle board. And that was a show.
I couldn't stand up. Well, I was able to stand up at the time, but I couldn't steer. So I was like wandering off to sea and had to be rescued.
Well, that sounds like an adventure.
Yeah. I mean, I like doing all that stuff that, you know, I used to fly back in the day. You know, I had my private pilot license for a while. And, you know, so I'm always envious when I see him doing his, you know, flying around stuff. I'm not envious when he's on the board that doesn't like, do anything for me.
Parasailing and the snorkeling once in a while.
Boating sorts of things. Or I just, living in Key West, I'm always just like, well, the ocean's right there. So there's like a ton of ocean related things.
There is, but you know, we don't get out that often, mm-hmm. believe it or not. We have a friend that for the last couple of weeks has been trying to get me out, but you know, I really stay busy with so many things down here and it's like, I can't today. Or, you know, like this past Sunday, we played at the Old Stone Coffee House that's down here. It's a really cool little spot for a lot of the locals that they bring in. It's associated with the Methodist Church, but they have like a little rec room that they have coffee, local musician comes
breakfast.
In, little breakfast, you know, and then, you know, the pastor has like a really cool inspirational discussion, which, you know, it's, I say it's not church in your face kind of thing, you know, it's just, it's fun, you know, and nice people come in. And so we had it this Sunday and played our, they like original music and we go in and play all our original music for them. I threw in a few Buffett songs for them, you know, cause they like hearing Jimmy Buffett, believe it or not, you know, they love that.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, plus I get the request. It's like, any request? Oh, you know, the Buffett song. And I'm like, got you covered. We'll play it, you know? And, but we couldn't go this weekend, you know, out boating. So
basically you have that classic retirement problem of during retirement, you're actually more busy than when before you retired.
I relax.
I am. Michelle's a true, she's a true retired.
I sleep till 11.
Nice. See, those are my, I'm on the Michelle train there. Like that's my retirement
house
goals.
Is like 3 times a week, you
sleep
know,
till 11, maybe go sailing, go to ski music sometimes.
Well, I actually have a project possibly coming up with the local radio station down here who's been trying to get me to be a DJ for the last 3 years.
4 years.
And it might be a combination of trop rock discussion and Jimmy Buffett stuff to where we can, you know, bring a little mix of everything in to kind of combine the two of some sort. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do in my head. I was going to get a hold of Dan Smith, you know, who's down here, and maybe it might be something he might be interested in
teaming
up with me on that. So,
cool, yeah,
you know, there's always something I've got, you know, figuring out what to do.
I feel like our college radio station, I had a couple shows, and maybe that's what led me to like being interested in podcasts. But and I love doing the podcast, but there's definitely something fun about like doing radio where it's kind of like almost like a live show, right? Where it's like, this is happening right now. And it's kind of a different beast than pre-recording a podcast and putting it out, but it's also super fun.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I do it now. I go in and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, well, Thanksgiving night, we were guests on the radio station.
You going with Dee Dee?
You know, I'll go in with Dee Dee Green, who is the city recycling person. And she and I developed a program down here on Fridays with volunteers. We go around and pick up trash and recycle for an hour every morning.
But she has a Tuesday morning show.
Yeah, she does a Tuesday morning show called The Green Side, and I go in and co-host with her certain days and just have fun with it. So, yeah, it is a lot different, you know, when you're live and then when you're recording a podcast of sorts. Yeah.
I mean, I do basically no editing, so it's not like I'm like editing out things that I don't want people to hear. So it's kind of like being live, but you don't get like sort of that interaction of, you know, I mean, I actually don't know what it's like these days, but you know, back in my day, you know, we had a phone and people would call in and request stuff sometimes. And I was one of the shows I was on was like a morning show with some people. So we would sometimes have guests or like have people call in. So yeah, it's definitely different, but this is easier now for me just because I don't want to like run a radio station.
Yeah, I think that's my only thing. I say I've been asked to do it. They've been bugging me for 3 years and I just, it's like, I don't know if I want the responsibility of having to do this once a week.
Right. Right. That's the big thing, right? Is like the podcast for me is like, I really want it to be fun. And part of that for me means like not, there's no obligation. So I do it when I feel like it, when I have a great guest, but it's not like, oh, it has to come out every week on Wednesday or whatever the thing is. And I feel like having that kind of obligation, unless it was like your job and you're getting paid for it, would definitely make things maybe less fun.
And I have to say, you know, our Tuesday on the Islands, the show that we do, I don't ever feel like it's, you know, it's something we want to do. We look forward to doing it. It's not one of those where it's like, oh, here we go again. Right. We got to go in and do that. I look forward to that because I look forward to the interaction of what we get from the people in real time, you know, on song requests. Cause you know, we call it a song request show. Who wants a Buffett? You know, what kind of challenge do they give me? How do they stump me with a song?
And we get to drink bourbon.
Oh, well, there you go. That's great then. I guess that's true. Like if I could drink while I do a thing, then like, sure, why not? Totally do it.
Because it's the tasting room.
And what's the name of the tasting room? I don't think we said that yet.
It's the Key West Trading Company tasting room.
Trading Company. Awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, they're our sponsor. They've been sponsoring us for a while. They're actually my sponsors for the Tiki Man Radio Songwriter Showcase that we do as well. So they've been very supportive to us and gives me a key to the place. We go down and open it up on Tuesdays, do our thing, and we just have fun.
That's so awesome. And so that's a regular thing. People can continue to go to that on Tuesdays. Do you have any other upcoming things that people should know about?
Well, usually if I do a gig, we always advertise it. You know, I've got my, you know, my Facebook out there, you know,
And tell people, what is the Facebook? Is it B-Man and Michelle or?
Yeah, just go out to B-Man and the ampersand, right? Amper.
Or if you put B-Man and Michelle,
yeah,
you'll find it.
Yeah.
You can search bar it.
Yeah, we made it complicated to even tell. But, you know, so we've got that. We always advertise stuff. But our really two big things is we got two new songs that we've been working on. And it's, you know, the way I like to release songs are at the beginning of the year. I don't like to release them during MOTM because there are so many other people releasing songs. So we'll have two new songs, Living Here in Key West, which is a fun song. And another one that I've been getting a lot of requests for just since we've been playing it and working out, you know, how we want it to sound and play. But it's called Sandbar Surfing.
Awesome. So those people can expect to be able to listen to those early next year sometime?
I should have them out by January, maybe February at the latest, but I'm shooting for January.
Okay. But just if people follow you on Facebook, then they'll be able to find out there. Are you on other social medias, Instagram, Twitter?
We are on Instagram, B-Man and Michelle on Instagram.
Will you be making an announcement there?
Well? We'll be making the announcement there as well. And, that's pretty much, I'm trying to think of any other social media stuff. Facebook, which is the heavy hitter.
Instagram. Yeah, I think that's kind of the main one. But Instagram's the one that I like the most. So I'm always like, are you? I already follow you on Instagram, I'm pretty sure. But just for other people who also prefer the gram.
You don't do too much on there, though, do you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't do too much on Instagram. I need to do more. And but to me, it's a process. Facebook's easy because I've been using it for so long. Instagram takes just a little bit more, but I'm learning to get smarter with it.
Well, and there just like isn't as much of a following for the kind of this kind of stuff I find on there. So it's, you know, when there's less engagement, there's kind of like you have less drive to post stuff. So that's why like I feel like Facebook is the biggest one for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if there's another platform out there that I don't know about, let me know.
TikTok.
Oh, I'm not doing TikTok.
Get on the TikTok. That's what all the kids are doing.
You have to learn a little dance.
Set up handwritten newsletter. Just take it back to the old days, people. Send your address. Then you just handwrite a letter and send it to them with announcements. How about that?
Well, I'm feeling like my parents, you know, when I was younger and they were older and they're always complaining, you know, it's like new technology. And now I'm starting to feel like that. I'm like, what?
I mean, I'm feeling like TikTok is like, I don't have the energy for this. I don't need another thing. Like, I understand that it's fun to watch videos on there, but I don't even have an account because I'm lazy and just don't want to deal with another new thing. So even I'm already at that point.
Too many passwords already.
Do you have an email newsletter at all for announcements and stuff?
You know, I don't.
Okay. Sometimes musicians have. So I just want to make sure gave you the chance.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's too time consuming, in my opinion. With
you barely made our Christmas letter.
Yeah. Christmas letter and cards this year.
If it was up to me, I wouldn't have a letter. So I'd be like,
too much tasting room tasting, and then it's like, oh no, it's Christmas, and we haven't sent anything.
Well, maybe I should have wrote the Christmas letter doing a tasting.
You probably would have done it a lot quicker if you had.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas. I'm drunk right now. Have a good holiday.
Sorry about the stain on there. That's bourbon.
That's the kind of Christmas letter update I want to get. So I don't know about other people.
It could be like the bourbon scratch and sniff. You know, it's like, hey, it smells like bourbon.
Like, oh, which one is this? This is a year of... from this location. Well, thank you both so much for being on. It was really awesome, fun time having you. And I hope that someday when I get down to Key West, I can watch your guys' show or I will watch it online.
Just let us know when you're here.
Yeah. Let us know. We're always we get so many people that come down here and want to hang out with us, and we do our best to accommodate all those folks that come down. And
if you're having a cat attack, we have four.
We have four cats. If you need your, you know.
Well, usually I just go to the Hemingway house for that.
Yeah.
But
I'll let you pet them for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. It's good to have another option if Hemingway house is like closed or.
Now, before I forget, we have a YouTube, which is B-Man and Michelle.
Great.
And
I'd ask people to join.
If we can get people to subscribe, because I have some new ideas coming up that I really can't do it until I get 1,000 subscribers. So we're trying to get our subscribership up on that. We're at 280, I think, now. I never thought it'd be this hard to get people to subscribe. I have like thousands of people who follow me, but I can't get them to, you know, subscribe on
Everybody
YouTube.
Go, if you have a YouTube account, go subscribe. Even if people don't watch anything you ever post, like it literally costs nothing to just hit the subscribe button. So please, anyone listening to this, if you have a YouTube account, even if you haven't used it in like 5 years, just go on there, subscribe to their YouTube, and that would help them out a lot.
And what do they get from this? They get all of our videos, because I record all our videos from Facebook and I put them on there. So people go back and rewatch them.
Oh, cool.
This year's Tiki Man Radio show's on there. I do a cooking show.
Every once in a while.
And I
showed how to make tamales.
I got how to make tamales. So you can go out there and see that.
That's good. Yeah. Like the only videos on my YouTube for the podcast right now are Quarin cocktails videos, where I just made random cocktails from random stuff that we had in our house during quarantine.
That's a good idea. I like that idea. I might steal that from you if you don't mind.
But I don't know if I'm subscribed yet. So I'll make sure that I go and do that if I have not done it yet.
And the last thing I put on there is I go around Key West in the mornings and I do the morning dose of vitamin C.
On your Facebook.
On my Facebook.
On your personal Facebook.
And then I'll put the video on YouTube as well. I go back and capture that. And I get a lot of people that likes to see what's happening in Key West. You know, the morning, the sun coming up, the water. Yeah, everything. You get your vitamin C right here.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm totally into that. Okay, I will be sure to go and subscribe for sure.
Yay!
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on, you guys. I had an awesome time.
We did too.
All right. Well, I will hopefully talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right. So thanks for listening to that interview. I hope you had a good time. I don't know, like, I think I mentioned the interview. I didn't know about them really before this year. Like I said, I've learned about a lot of new musicians this year. And I hope that you have too. And I hope that maybe this podcast has been part of that, introduced you. I actually would like to hear, like, if anyone who wants to give feedback, I'd be happy to hear about, like, are you liking the guests that are on? Have you heard of them all before? Have you learned about some new people? Is the variety good? Like, what's your, because I think I'm having a good time with kind of the types of guests, but I would like to hear your feedback about that. If you have any thoughts, to do that, you can email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com, or you can message me on social media. It's at blamebuffettpod on Twitter and Instagram. Blame It on Buffett Podcast on Facebook. You can just search for it. Leave me a comment, send me a DM, at me, as the kids say. Or email me it if you don't want it to be like public or whatever, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on the sort of guest selection, and especially if you like learned about someone that you hadn't heard about before and you're like, oh, that's really cool, and I checked out their music and I like them, or I checked out the organization they work with and I donated some money, or whatever the thing is. I would love to hear those stories, especially like coming to the end of the year. I started this podcast in January, I think. So we're getting pretty close to like the anniversary of this podcast, which is really exciting for me to have been doing it for almost a whole year. So kind of like at a, you know, year end reflection and wrap up, I'd love to know, like, what did you like about the podcast this year? What did you not like about it? There were things you didn't like, you know, don't be mean, but I'm happy to hear constructive feedback too. And yeah, just any thoughts you might have. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. You can just do a star review. I don't think you have to leave a comment, but if you want to leave a comment, that would be awesome too. That helps me get more people to see it, the more sort of reviews and stuff I have. Like I said, if you want to support the podcast, the link is in the show notes. It's just on the Anchor page. There's a support button there. If you do support, please, oh, this is another thing I didn't say at the beginning, but if you do do that support option, it only shows me whatever name you type in. So I don't know any other information about you except, so if you just type like Jeff, that's like all I have no idea who you are. So, and I know it's weird to like have to reach out and be like, I donated to you, but I do have stickers and I would love to be able to send you some stickers if you, support the podcast. And I cannot do that unless I have your information and am able to contact you. So if you support the podcast and would like stickers, please reach out to me, email me, or whatever the thing is. Like, please don't feel awkward. I know that's like a weird situation to be in, but like, please don't feel awkward. Please be like, hey, I just hit that support button and would love some stickers. Like, that's all you have to say. I just need your address and I will send you some Layman on Buffett stickers. You can stick them on your friends. You can stick them on lampposts. You can stick them on your dog. Maybe don't stick them on your dog. He might eat them and that seems bad, but you know, share them around. I'll send you a couple, give one to a friend or whatever. So I would love to be able to do that for anyone who supports. And I think that is it for this week. Thanks again so much for listening. Thanks for those of you who have stuck with me through it all. It's funny, at the beginning of when I first started the podcast, like the first three episodes, I kind of only did one a month because they were based on when musicians came to town because I was doing in-person interviews. so it's kind of, you know, the natural cycle of things, I guess, that beginning of the year, I did one a month, end of the year, I did one a month. And then for those months in the middle, there was just like one a week, which was great. So yeah, hopefully we can get back to that a little bit more next year. I do have my eye on a new mic that I'm pretty excited about. So hopefully I will be able to get that soon. And I just want to wish y'all a happy holidays, whatever kind of holiday you celebrate. I hope you have a good one. And until next time, remember, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there. Blame it on Buffett.